Well, certainly you have seen by now there's been an emphasis and a theme on honoring veterans today. And as I was thinking about the fact that it'll be Veterans Day and we would have those special moments within the service, I thought about the fact that as we enter what I affectionately refer to as the season of Thanksgiving, that we would begin the series that will go throughout the month of November, Lord willing, people of praise, being reminded to thank God for the service of Jesus Christ, right? The service, and we worship Him because He came to serve. In fact, our theme verse for this morning is Mark 10, verse 45, and I invite you to turn with me to Mark 10, verse 45, which is our theme verse, which will launch the message this morning, which goes on to say this: "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to serve and ultimately give His life to provide forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our souls. And so we are thankful for how Jesus Christ served. We are thankful for what He did to provide salvation for us. As we prepare to get into this message, let's begin by asking God's blessing upon this time. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity within this service to honor, O Lord, those that have served. We're reminded, O Lord, that we always worship You, and You are to be honored, and You are to be glorified. And we thank You, O Father, that You came to serve. You came to give Your life for the ransom of many. And so we praise You, Father, for that truth this morning. As we get into this message, we ask, O Lord, for Your blessing upon this message. We pray, O Lord, that the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, guide us and direct us and teach us all truths from Your Word. And may, O Lord, as we receive Your Word and Your message, may we as believers in Christ, followers of Jesus Christ, respond in obedience to whatever You're calling us to do. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, once again, I want to launch what is the beginning of a sermon series, People of Praise, specifically with the theme this morning of thanking the Lord Jesus Christ for how He came to serve here on this earth. Today I want to look at three biblical examples of how Jesus came to serve. First, notice that Jesus was sent by the Heavenly Father to save us. As we have talked recently, and we have referenced and emphasized creation, we have talked about the fact that creation was perfect in every way. But yet, when sin entered into the world, Romans chapter 5 says that death came in, and the sinful nature would be passed from Adam and Eve on to mankind. And so the human nature would be born with a sinful nature from that time on. And so it is that God had a plan. In fact, Scripture says before the foundations of the world that God had a plan to redeem mankind from their sins. So even before sin entered in the world, God knew that sin would enter in the world. And He had a redemptive plan. And so He set in motion the plan to redeem mankind from sin. And it would be through His Son, Jesus Christ, as He carried out the Father's will to redeem mankind from their sin. And He did so in the fullness of time. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 gives us insight onto the plan of God and His timeline for redeeming mankind from their sin. It's Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7 that references this. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I often reference this, but you know I love this song. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a part of the family of God. Yes, creation has occurred, and every person is a beautiful creation of Almighty God. But there is something special that happens upon salvation. You see, you go from creation and an image bearer of God to becoming a child of the Most High God through faith in Jesus Christ. And as I often reference, behold what manner of the love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Have you wrapped your head around that truth, that we have the privilege and the blessing to be heirs with Jesus? We have the blessing to be children of the Most High God. And as we cry out to the Lord, we cry out, Abba, Father, for He is our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ. And so God offers the salvation to everyone and desires to see the lost come to the Lord. And we serve a God who pursues us and seeks to save us. In fact, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we see in John 3:16, for example, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Luke 19 reveals that Jesus has come to seek and save the lost. And so we are thankful for God's pursuit of us as He pursues us and as He invites us into a relationship with Him. And so we are so thankful. We are a people of praise, if you will. We have so much to be thankful for, because once again, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. And so He was sent to save. Another way that Jesus modeled the service was that He set the example of service during His earthly ministry. As He begins and embarks upon His earthly ministry, time after time again, we see Him serving humanity, those that He would come across in the communities that He ministered to. He would demonstrate compassion upon them. He would serve them and meet their physical needs. But more importantly, He had a desire to meet their spiritual needs. And so Jesus modeled during His earthly ministry what it looked like to serve others. In fact, as we're reminded, one of His last acts here during His earthly ministry was when He was hanging out with His disciples. It's recorded in John chapter 13, in which He washes the feet of the disciples. And in John chapter 13, it records an interesting moment during this washing of the feet. He invites the disciples, and one by one, He's preparing to wash the feet of the disciples. And as you might recall, Peter protests. He says, "How can you do this?" He was humiliated for Christ's sake, because here it was, Jesus Christ was Master. How could he go so low? How could He humiliate Himself? You see, the reason it was so significant was that washing the feet was certainly an act of service, but it was the act of the lowest servant of all. In other words, if you had servants in the household in that day and time, they had tasks and things to do, but the one that was lowest in the chain of command, if you will, lowest on the totem pole, whatever you want to say, was the one that would wash the feet of the guests who were coming into the home. And Jesus is modeling that for Peter and the other disciples, and they are watching this, and He goes on to record in John chapter 13, verse 12 through 16, it describes why He did this for His disciples. He was setting the example for His disciples. He was saying to them, watch what I'm doing. Serve as I serve. In John chapter 13, once again, verse 12 through 16, He describes the purpose of it. He goes on to say in this section of Scripture that, so when He had washed their feet and taken His garments and sat down again, He said to them, Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. In other words, he's setting the example for those disciples, the original disciples. But as we look upon a passage such as that, it's quite the example for us as well, isn't it? That we are called to serve one another in love and humility. And blessed are you and I if we do that. Matthew 23, verse 11, another passage in which the disciples are having a little bit of an argument, if you might recall, of who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so they're trying to posture for prestige and position in that account. And Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, in response to this arrogant attitude that these disciples were having, he goes on to say this, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." See, service defines greatness in the kingdom of God. I'm reminded of a story many years ago of an encounter that Billy Graham had with, I believe it was a bellhop, and the bellhop got in the elevator and was pushing the buttons for Billy Graham, and he had a little bit of a talk as he was making his way to his room, and that individual, that gentleman, went on to say to him that, "I am praying for you and your ministry." Here's a gentleman that was serving, carrying the bags of a minister. Billy Graham went on to say that, "I believe when we get to heaven, it's people like that that will be great in the kingdom of heaven." I'm reminded, as I have observed church members through the years here at our church here at Calvary, that I could say that time after time, as I see the examples of individuals that are committed to serving the Lord, that many times they do so behind the scenes, and they are willing to serve without recognition. They are willing to serve because they feel led to do that. And I believe that they will be greatest in the kingdom someday, because of their service for the Lord today. Jesus set the example of service for us, and we are to follow His example. So we certainly should and can be a people of praise. Once again, as we see how Christ was sent to save us, we thank God for what He's done for us through sending His Son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to the earth to provide salvation through His sacrifice on the cross. We see the example of His service for us. And then finally, once again, we see the example of Christ serving as He sacrificed His life for us. You see, one thing we have to understand is that we were held captive, if you will, in our sin nature by the enemy. We were in desperate state, in a desperate condition, and needed some help. And so our help comes from the Savior. This past week, we were finishing our study on the book of Mark in our Wednesday evening Bible study, and we talked about the concept of ransom, and we saw that it had the roots of what it meant. And as we shared, even in that study, that we understand that ransom is often given for one that would be kidnapped, to retrieve them and to reconcile and bring them back to their loved ones. Ransom is often given, once again, to a kidnapper for the loved one that is kidnapped. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us, didn't He? See, the Bible talks about us as being enemies of the cross, enemies of God, apart from God. The enemy had come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are redeemed and our ransom is paid for. And now we are returned to a fellowship and a relationship with the very God of the universe because of the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On this day, we, of course, have honored veterans. And one of the things that has often been referenced, and of course, we will emphasize more on Memorial Day, is that some give the ultimate sacrifice as they give their life for the nation and for the citizens of this country. But as we think of Jesus, isn't that exactly what He did? And more importantly and greater did He do. For He has said in His Word, John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And Jesus laid down His life for His friends, all the disciples, all the followers of Him. He was laying down His life for them. He gave His life for them. He also calls us to follow that example and for us to lay down our life for others and to live sacrificially. Listen to what 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says. By this we know love, because He, referring to Jesus, laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Let me ask you something. We might not do that literally, but we are willing to do that figuratively. Are we willing to lay down our lives or lay down our ambitions or lay down our agendas or our opinions for the sake of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, wanting to prefer them above ourselves? If we do so, we're following the example that Jesus set for us. But He even goes further than that, because Jesus also set the example for us going beyond just loving our friends. And He set the example for even loving our enemies. We're reminded in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. At the cross, we see something very significant take place. There's two examples right in front of us as we look at Calvary and as we look at the cross. See, there are some individuals who began that day as enemies of Jesus. I think of one of the criminals, one of the thieves at the cross, who began that day criticizing and making fun of Jesus. But as the conversation took place throughout that day, and two criminals had been mocking Him and making fun of Him at the course of the beginning of that crucifixion, it was one that had a change of heart, if you will. Remember what he says to Jesus, will you remember me? Jesus goes on to say, today you shall be with me in paradise. I believe that's one of the first deathbed conversions that we ever see is on that cross. One moment, that individual, that thief, that criminal, during that day and time, being executed for serious crimes that he had committed, went from jeering and criticizing and being an enemy of Jesus to following Jesus and receiving Jesus by faith and to be ushered into eternity, to be reunited in Jesus' presence. We also see at the foot of the cross, that was an individual that day who had received orders. You see, he was a Roman centurion, which means he was a soldier. But not only a soldier, he was in command of 100 soldiers. Most likely, he is a commander of the Roman guards who have been given the order to execute these individuals, including Jesus Christ. And so it was, as he is in command, and as earlier in that passage we see even the soldiers are fighting over Jesus' clothes, that there is contempt for Jesus at the beginning of the crucifixion. But at the end, we see something marvelous occur. Because as this Roman centurion, this guard, this commander of the guards that are executing him on the spot at the cross of Calvary, remember that it impacted that centurion. And as he sees all that's taking place in the aftermath of the crucifixion, he goes on to say, surely this must have been the Son of God. God desires to take a person who is an enemy and to transform them into his friend. He desires to take somebody that is an enemy and who is serving the father of lies into becoming a child of the Most High God through faith in Jesus Christ. All because Jesus sets the example of service by sacrificing his life on the cross for you and for me, making us friends of God and making us family of God. We're reminded that Jesus was indeed the ultimate sacrifice. Remember the introduction of John the Baptist? John the Baptist, as he's introducing him to the crowd, he goes on to say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We know the history of sacrifice in the Old Testament and how there was a lamb required to be sacrificed on the altar. But here it is, that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, who is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. Hebrews goes on to say that he is a sacrifice once and for all. There is no need for any other sacrifice, for he is superior and supreme to all sacrifice, and he willingly gave his life for you and for me to pay for our ransom, to pay for the penalty of sin, to pay for the punishment of sin, to redeem us and reconcile us back to the Father. And that's why we declare once again, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. And so he gives his life for us. He sets the example for us in how he led his life. We need to have his mindset. We need to follow his example. In closing, Philippians 2, 5 through 11 sums up much of what we've talked about this morning. It happens to be one of my favorite passages. But listen to the words of this beautiful passage that shows us the love of God, shows us the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it's all laid out in this beautiful passage once again. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11, which says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God, referring to God the Father, has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And so Jesus came and he humbled himself and was exalted by the Heavenly Father. And as we follow the example of Jesus, as followers of Jesus Christ, we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt us in due time. But our mindset, our attitude, comes from an attitude of service and love for our great God, not needing the applause of men, but seeking the approval of Almighty God. Is that our mindset? Is that our attitude? Followers of Christ, that is what He is calling us to do and to be. Jesus has called us to a life of sacrifice and service. As Luke 9:23 records, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. It is a sacrificial life of service that He is calling us as followers of Jesus Christ to live out. In fact, He went to the cross and He gives us a picture of what that looks like for our life. Think about Galatians 2 verse 20 as we identify with Him and His sacrifice on the cross. We come to the realization as Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Romans 12 verse 1 goes on to say, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your lives a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We're called to serve the Lord. We're called to live sacrificial lives. So the question is, will we take up our cross and follow Him? Will we live a sacrificial life of service that is honoring to the great God whom we serve? This morning, Father of Jesus Christ, what is our response to the sacrifice that He gave for us? What is our response to the example that He set for us? What is our response as we want to be more like Christ? How are we going to respond in obedience to the sacrifice and the service that He demonstrated for us when we were yet sinners and He died for us? What is our response, Father Jesus Christ? In a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to reflect, reminisce, and make a decision on how we're going to respond to the invitation of Almighty God to our hearts. My prayer, my desire, is that you and I will follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we will identify with Him, have His mindset, and have His attitude. But maybe you're here today. You never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I hope that you heard the gospel as clear as could be, that He went to the cross, yes, for the world, for God so loved the world that He sent His Son. And so the sacrifice was for the world, but it was also for you. There's an old song that goes on to talk about when Jesus went to the cross, He had you on His mind. He loves you. He cares for you. He is a personal God who wants to redeem you from the power and the clutch of the evil one and of sin. And He wants to make you a sinner that will be saved by His grace. The sacrifice has been made for your sins and for my sins. The ransom has been paid. He desires for you to come and receive that free gift of salvation today. If you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the invitation is open to you. Receive Him today, for now is the acceptable day of salvation. You might say, I don't understand how to do that. In just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity where you can respond, or you can respond right now by admitting that you are a sinner and in need of the Savior and recognizing that that Savior is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, fully God, who became fully man, to grow up and to give His life on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And when one comes to the point where they see Jesus as Savior and believe that Jesus, the Savior of the world, is the Son of God who died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and as they confess Him as their Lord and Savior, the Bible says you will be saved. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can do that today. As the worship team makes their way here, let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing upon this time of invitation. Let us pray. Father, we do come before you. And as we have been focusing on the importance of service and the importance of sacrifice all throughout this service, we recognize that Jesus Christ is the author of everything that we have talked about, who came to seek and to save which was lost, who came not to be served but to serve and give His life for the ransom of many. And so we thank you, Father, for that truth. And if there is one here that's never received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, oh Lord, may they do so right here and right now, we do pray. For the followers of Jesus Christ, may we respond in such a way that we say, oh Lord, you are our master, you are our teacher. If you came to serve, we should follow your lead. As you wash the feet of others, so we must humble ourselves with a task such as that in how we live our lives. With humility and love and compassion and preference, O Father, for others over ourselves. Help us to follow your example, we do pray. Now, O Lord, as we go in this time of invitation, may we respond as you lead. This we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen.